All right, everyone. Good morning. I have Laura here with me on the phone. Now we're in a different computer setup than before. Before I just laid down my external mic next to her. Now I'm working with Jasmine's internal mic on her laptop. So we may need some sound checks as I figure out the best place to lay the phone. I'm not sure where the mic is. So why don't you go ahead and start talking, Lori, and everyone give me feedback, and I'll just readjust the phone until we find out the best place to put it. Lori, please take it away.
Okay. Can everyone hear me? I see the mic is on Lynn's thing of Sweet Dreams, but okay, Melinda, you can, okay, great. Dove and Melinda can hear me, so it sounds fine, Regina.
Okay,
thank
good.
You very much. Well, Melinda, I have to tell you that you are sounding like you're healing. You're just getting stronger and more centered and sounds like happier, and this is the beauty of the Course and just doing it and surrendering that willingness over to the Holy Spirit like you were talking about, and a wonderful thing to behold. So thank you for sharing. Today I'm going to talk about the laws of chaos, and I'm on page 491 of the FIP version of the text. That's chapter 23, section 2, and I'm going to start in the middle of the section on paragraph 9 with the fourth law of chaos. So page 491 of the text, chapter 23, section 2, the laws of chaos, paragraph 9. The ego values only what it takes. This leads to the fourth law of chaos, which, if the others are accepted, must be true. This seeming law is the belief you have what you have taken. By this, another's loss becomes your gain, and thus it fails to recognize that you can never take away save from yourself. Yet all the other laws must lead to this. For enemies do not give willingly to one another, nor would they seek to share the things they value. And what your enemies would keep from you must be worth having, because they keep it hidden from your sight. And here we can see just in this that even the world's laws of peace and all these peace treaties and everything that we have are still based on attack. And that's why the world's ways will never work. Peace treaties are about, I'll give you this if you give me that. We'll compromise. There's an uneasy truce for a while until one of them sneaks up behind and starts attacking the other one again. It just won't work because there's no honesty in that. And one of the things that I was noticing this week was that dishonesty. I had an energy healing about a week ago, and one of the words that kept coming up was self-deception and honesty, dishonesty basically. And I thought, okay, now is there another layer? Because I do try to look at everything. Of course, there are things that we can't see underneath there. So it's, what am I not looking at? What am I not looking at? And then later in the week, it came to me in my meditation, something that I had not seen for years. And it was an attack that was veiled behind my face of innocence. And the person responded to the attack part of it. And what it was is, this was years ago, where I sent an old lover a letter. And in the letter, my intention, my conscious intention, and it was an intention there too, because most of the letter was actually quite loving and forgiven. You know, I've been doing the Course in Miracles, et cetera, et cetera. And I told him I had moved on, I'm in a new relationship, I'm doing better, etc. Well, what happened with that letter is he responded to that letter with legal action, saying I was stalking him. It was crazy. It was absolutely nuts, because I had sent him two letters in a period of 2 years. No, three letters in a period of 2 years. And we had had a 20-year relationship. So come on, tell me I'm stalking this person. It's like, no, I'm trying to end this relationship on a positive note, because the last message had been quite hostile. And so my intention, my face of innocence, was let's you know, end this on a nice note. But I had already told him in a previous letter that I had moved on with a new relationship. So actually, what I was doing, and I didn't see that, was here I am sending another letter with much of the same information that I sent from the first letter. And I'm sitting here thinking, well, I still feel uncomfortable that this ended on an ugly note. Let me just send another letter. Well, he didn't want another letter because he had already told me, I don't want to talk to you anymore. But that felt really bad to me because here we'd had a relationship for 20 years, off and on. So what happened in my meditation and what I saw, and this is, again, 5 years after the fact, is I'm thinking about, wow, you know, he responded with such attack. But the part where I thought of how he was hurt because I was in a new relationship, and then he got upset about that, in my meditation, I felt myself saying, good, it serves him right. And I thought, whoa, there it is. There's the veiled attack that I hid behind the rest of this loving letter. And so what does he respond to? He responds to the attack. And I think that that's something that is really subtle, in that that's why the Course keeps going over and over and over and saying, you don't really realize how deep this murderous thought system is. And so backing that up a little bit, I could see how I tried to kill him in the, you know, metaphorical terms of the Course. It's like, there I have the knife. And I'm like, I'm friendly. Here's love. And then you back into my knife, and I go, oh, my gosh, how did that knife get in your back? Oh, you walked into my knife. Oh, I didn't mean to have that knife there. You did that, not me. And how dare you be mad at me for what you did? So getting back to this thing about the fourth law of chaos, that only what the ego takes does it feel like it gets. Our relationship was illicit, so to speak, from the beginning. So there were stuff going on that we both felt guilty about. We felt like we shouldn't be in the relationship. So we felt, each of us, like we were taking from the other. We had an affair that was not a good thing on either end, as far as we felt so terribly guilty. So here I'm taking him, I'm taking his innocence from his family, he's taken my innocence from my family, and we're all along feeling terribly, terribly guilty about this and couldn't get over it. And what came to me in terms of the innocence and me feeling guilty like I took his innocence, and then he's feeling guilty like he took my innocence. And there it is, it's that idea that we have taken from God. We've stolen innocence, we've stolen love, we've stolen from God, and then we're going to get in a lot of trouble for that. And it's always been a little bit difficult for me to understand that thing about we stole from heaven, we made up our world here, and now we feel guilty. But there it is. Because what I did experience with this person did feel as close to heaven as I've ever felt on this earth. And that, aside from all the attacks that was in, that were in the relationship, there was a piece of this relationship that was so close. I mean, it was the closest, and that's remained. That has remained, even as all of the other parts have been forgiven and released and healed, that piece of that unconditional love has remained with this person. One time he said to me, we should really hate each other. How come we still love each other? We should hate each other. And according to the ego's dictates, we should. But that peace of heaven, that peace of God, that seeing the Christ in each other, the holy relationship part of it always remained. So it was very interesting for me to see that veiled attack behind my face of innocence and to realize that you can talk to someone and have 9/10 of the conversation be love, 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 love. You throw in that one attack, and what are they going to do? The attack, what you're taking from them, I'm going to take your innocence. I'm going to take your calm. I'm going to take your sense of you being a good person. I've taken that from you, and I'm attacking you and showing you that you're not that. You are not that. And it reminds me of an example I used to use with my clients in terms of the power of positive thinking. Positive thinking in compared to negative thinking. I said, say you go on a date, a first date, and the date is really, really nice. And you have dinner, and it's candlelight, and the person you're with recites poetry to you, says you have the most beautiful eyes, and says they're really drawn to you, and everything's just flowing smoothly. You have great wine and everything. And then at the end of the night, the person turns to you and says, I can't go out with you anymore because you have bad breath. What are you going to remember from that date? You're going to remember that one thing. That is what will stick in your mind for the rest of your life. And so these attacks, when we think about how the world is rooted in attack, I had another example that was coming up in my meditations this week with my current partner, where we've had this ongoing struggle about, I want a relationship where we talk more deeply and talk more about feelings, because that's my bent. I was a psychotherapist. That's what I do. Rod is a warrior archetype. He doesn't do that. He doesn't value it. He doesn't think it's necessary. And he said to me, I don't believe in that. I don't like that. That's not good. And so I kept coming and asking him for that over and over and over and saying, why don't you? And then a lot of times I would just get mad at him. You don't want to talk. You don't know how to do a relationship. And he'd say, well, there's more ways to do a relationship than just your way. It's always got to be your way. So all along we're going on, and I cannot understand why he doesn't want this relationship the same way I want it to be. And what hit me again in my meditation this week is that I was attacking him. Here I felt that I was just asking for more intimacy and more love and the way to do a relationship I prefer, but he was perceiving it as an attack. And I was saying, I'm not attacking you. I'm trying to get closer to you. And all the while, he's coming back real angry at me, and I couldn't understand why. What is going on? I'm simply stating to you, we can get closer. We can get more connected. And you're coming back angry at me? What's your problem? What, you know, what is going on with you that you can't get close to someone, et cetera, et cetera? And then the Course admonishes us and says, be careful. Don't analyze it either. How do I know what's going on inside of him? And when I would say, well, I think you have this issue or whatever, he would get even more angry. And there again, analyzing the ego motives of another. And if we look at everything that another person is doing is for our own good, everything, no matter how we analyze their ego motives, oh, they're doing that because of this, they're doing that because of that, none of those even matter. The only reason they're doing that is for your spiritual growth, for your forgiveness lessons, for you to wake up. And there was always that in the back of my mind, too, with my partner. Like, okay, wait a minute. We have this really good relationship in so many ways. I really love this man. He's a really good man. We do the Course together. Our mission is spiritual growth and awakening. What is this about? And I've been doing this for years, and it wasn't until this week that I went, oh, my God, when I am asking him for something that he does not want to give, and I keep asking, and I keep asking, that is an attack. That's the special relationship. And you're wanting to take something from someone else, and it's taking if they don't want to freely give it. And there's that law of chaos. And I didn't even see that, because all I could see was, I just want a deeper relationship. I just want a better relationship with you. And there's nothing wrong with me wanting that kind of relationship. I'm not going to get it with this man. Perhaps I might have it with another man in the future. I don't know. But the point is, I could never understand why he was responding with an attack. because I was attacking him. And I kept saying, I'm not attacking you. And he's going, yes, you are. And finally, I thought, and it was interesting. Oh, okay, there's a stuff coming on the board they want to read. You're right. That matters at all. And so I think, oh my gosh, even the stuff we don't think are attacks in this world are attacks. I said, I've got a better relationship. And I was attacking. I didn't even say, okay, it's all something wrong. It's all bad. You fear here. And it feels so much better. God, I didn't even know I was attacking. Let me read that Regina had written. I was writing this up here. Lauren was never the problem. It was my own rejectability, my own fear of being rejected. Yes. And then another person I don't know had said the posting. As I looked on my life, I realized every time I thought I was being rejected from something good, I was actually being redirected to something better. That's so true. And that is another thing that always bothered me, because what it was is I had always wanted to give everything I possibly could to this relationship. And I do feel good about that. But what I couldn't separate was that was me needing to do that for me. It was not him needing to do that for him. And as long as I was trying to get him around to my way of thinking, if we're trying to get someone else around to our way of thinking, that's an attack. And don't kid yourself. And that's what I was kidding myself, and I didn't even know it. And so, here, let me read some more up here. And then the belief that you can't have what you're desiring if it's not from this lie is a lie. There's Jay's writing that on the board. That great thing where you write the word belief, and in the middle of the word belief, B-E, lie, L-I-E-F, that you can't have what you're desiring if it's not from this person. That's a lie, because we all have it already. We're all already whole. And Dove's writing, attack is impossible. Love is. Spirit is giving through spirit to spirit what spirit requests. That's a quote from Regina. Spirit giving through spirit to spirit what spirit requests. And one of the ways I've always said that is there's only one relationship. There's no relationship between me and my current partner. There's no relationship between me and my former partner. There's only one relationship, and that's the relationship with the Christ. And when you're that, when you're clear with that, that there's nothing that other person can give you or take from you, then you're clear. And so there again is, or that you can take from them, steal from them. And there's that idea again of stealing from heaven. And we were talking this morning about this person who comes into our church. And he's a very needy guy. And he's innocent in the sense that he doesn't even know what he's doing. He doesn't even have the conscious awareness of what he's doing. But he comes in the middle of service and disrupts everything. It's like he makes a grand entrance, and then he leaves. And then he makes another grand entrance, and then he leaves. And it's like, look at me, look at me, look at me. And anytime you have a person that is needy, that hides behind this neediness, that is an attack also. And I like to refer to Celestine Prophecy, where he talked about if you could see people's auras, and you could see someone who feels needy or low self-worth trying to get something from someone else, what you see is that their aura, their energy field, actually dips into the other person's energy field and tries to grab from it and bring it into their own. So there you have again, the ego feels that it only gets what it takes, what it steals, what it grabs. So when you're around a needy person, or anyone who's trying to convince you of their way of thinking, or someone who is trying to judge you and say you're wrong, any of those, they're all the same thing. They're all trying to take from you where you're at and get you over to their side, get your energy, get your opinion, get your approval, get your love, get your resources, whatever it is. And so when we cringe or we pull back, or in the case of people who get really angry, or if it's a deep-seated issue where it's like, rah, roaring back with anger, there it is. They're responding to the attack. And you may go, what did I do? But so if you have someone in your life, that's responding to you in a roaring kind of way, or like get away from me kind of way, look a little deeper. Are you trying to take something from them? And I used to tell my clients, I used to work with substance abusers a lot, and with the wives or the husbands of the alcoholic or the drug addict, I'd say, if you're trying to talk to your partner, monitor what you're saying. If what you are saying is to try to get them to see the light, shut your mouth. Because if you're trying to get them to get it, get them to understand, get them to wake up, get them to stop drinking, that's the codependence, and that's actually an attack. Now, I didn't call it an attack back then. I just understood that it didn't work and that it would get resistance from the other person. So I didn't understand the underlying dynamics that the course talks about the murderous thought system, that here you go, I've gotcha, gotcha. And how many times have we thought of that when someone else, when we're having an argument with someone or a discussion and we're mad at them and we want them to see a certain thing, and then you finally, you shape that discussion in a way that you can set them up, and then you go, ha, I gotcha, you can't wheedle out of this one now. What is that? There it is. There's the murderous attack right there. And I've done that so many times in my life, and it's like, wow, it's like, oh my God. And I'm so grateful for the course to show me now, wow, you don't have to be that way anymore. And I think that might have been in Celestine Prophecy too, one of those things of it's the interrogator, the inquisitor, the person who, it's like a lawyer type of technique that gets you into a corner where they can then stab you. There, I got you. But then you can go, well, I didn't do anything. I'm just pointing out the truth. There's that face of innocence. So it's like that guy who's coming into church and not even knowing that he's trying to grab the whole congregation's attention. I'm not doing anything. I'm just going out for a cup of tea. And all the while he's attacking, trying to take the energy. Okay, so, and here's where, back on the board, attack is impossible. So here I am talking about all this attack, and I'm believing in all these attacks. But if we see them as innocence, and I apologize for that beeping. Someone's trying to call through on this phone. If we see them as innocence as opposed to attacks, and again, getting back to once it's been forgiven, like between my partner and I, it's like, oh my gosh, you never did anything wrong. I never did anything wrong, and that's where, right, attack is impossible. There's no such thing in truth. There can't be. It's only the ego shenanigans that appear as attacks. So, Jay, you've been writing a lot of stuff up here that I'm going to read. Damn it, give me what I deserve, or give me what I feel I deserve. Never mind, I'm not giving it to myself, hee-hee. We can't give something we don't have, but we have it all. The person just can't let go of their low self-belief, but they do believe they can receive it from another. So they try to take it, which ironically will never work. And there is a value in admitting your false beliefs, admitting them, and then letting them go. So yes, so anytime, thanks Jay, anytime we have that where we think we're less than, we need another person to complete us. And that reminds me of that movie with Tom Cruise and Renee Zellweger, You Complete Me. I forget the name of the movie now. It says, You Complete Me. And I think there is something to the sense of when you're with certain people, you feel really good and you bring out the best in each other. But the complete part, I think, is not correct. You're complete all in your own. And that's what's happening to me now as what appeared to me to be attacks from my partner and what appeared to him to be attacks from me. One of the reasons we have stayed in this relationship and stayed through all the fights and stayed through all that stuff is because we know that all of that stuff is waking us up to all of our false beliefs and making us grow, and that relationships are for that purpose, to make us grow. I like what Eckhart Tolle says, because relationships aren't there to make you happy. was the name of that movie, Jerry Maguire. And Dove, you wrote, to have all, give to all, the first three lessons of the Holy Spirit. To have all, give to all. And so as I've been meditating with this former relationship that I have had, still in my mind, so it's not even former, and I've been sending him all kinds of love and forgiveness for things that seemed to happen, and just say it's all forgiven now. It really, truly is all forgiven now. And seeing my part in it, where I had all these veiled attacks on him that I didn't even see. There were more, too. When I had the internal judgment in my mind going about this person all the time, and he felt that, and he responded outwardly with anger, while I could be innocent, and on the surface, I could be calm and collected and say, what's wrong with you? So there's another way that we attack, and it's so insidious. This ego stuff is just wild. And I want to read this other part, paragraph 13 of this section. Never is your possession made complete, and never will your brother cease his attack on you for what you stole. Nor will God end his vengeance upon both, for in his madness he must have this substitute for love and kill you both. You who believe you walk in sanity with feet on solid ground, and through a world where meaning can be found, consider this. These are the laws on which your quote-unquote sanity appears to rest. These are the principles which make the ground beneath your feet seem solid, and it is here you look for meaning. These are the laws you made for your salvation. They hold in place the substitute for heaven which you prefer. This is their purpose. They were made for this. There is no point in asking what they mean. That is apparent. So there we have that. There is no point in asking what they mean. Be careful of analyzing the ego motives of another. You don't know. Because when this person responded with legal stuff for me, I could have all kinds of reasons for his ego motives. I don't know what they were, and they don't really matter. As Lesson 3 says, I do not understand anything I see. What the whole thing was for was my awakening, because his legal attacks, so to speak, his legal action on me was the impetus for the greatest amount of spiritual growth I've ever had. So that's what it's for. I do not know what anything is for, Lesson 25. That's what it's for. It's always for your good. So what seems to be an attack is for your good. And that's a tough lesson, but when you learn it, it's absolutely wonderful. Okay, my time is up, and I hope Regina's back.
Yes, I was back in a moment. I only ran up to get a shake, and I've been here the whole time, and I think it was a wonderful, wonderful sharing, and I thank you.
Well, thanks very much, and thanks again for taking my spot next week. I'll be gone. I'll be out of town, but I'll be back in 2 weeks.
All right, that sounds wonderful. I'll see you in a couple
thank
of
you.
Weeks. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.
I told her when I answered the phone before I took the mic, I told her I was hungry, my stomach was rumbling, I was going to run and get something to eat so it didn't sound like a lion in the background, but I was only gone for a couple of minutes, and I really enjoyed listening to her. I also really enjoyed listening to you as well, Melinda, and now we're going to turn it to Sharon. I believe today's NTI lesson is NTI 1 Corinthians chapter 11, so Sharon, please take the mic.